Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I am Jason. Rorschach's Journal, January 12th, 1985. On the donuts, I see all the donuts in the window. I'm by a Dunkin' Donuts. There are donut holes there. Sometimes there are breakfast sandwiches. I walk beside the window and sometimes I smell the smell of the donuts and the breakfast sandwiches. And I see the people walk out and they say, "Have you tried the donuts?" And I look at them and I say, "No." Inman.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm already tired. Victoria Robinson.
I love that Ashley, by the way, leaned back and I could tell she was like, how long is it going to go? And as soon as she did that, I was like, okay, I'm going to end it.
Watchmen, man.
We talked about the Watchmen 2009 movie, and you mentioned this a little bit in the main episode, and I want to talk about it here. Should Watchmen be adapted again? And I want to talk
like
about
a straight up adaptation.
Yes, I want to talk about straight up because I want to talk about a little bit in the conversation about if it's going to be adapted again. Like, do you have who should do it? Where should it be? What's the format? OK, so because as we have right now, we have a comic book sequel, Doomsday Clock. We have an HBO sort of sequel that I'm going to say. And as you listeners know, I named it the best series of 2019. It was the best thing I watched on television last year. So I think that was uber successful. And I think Damon Lindelof did a great job of getting the tone of the original Watchmen series so well. So, Ashley, I think the obvious answer is they are definitely going to adapt Watchmen sometime in the next 20 years.
Here's my thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead.
Should it be adapted again? Maybe.
Ooh, a maybe.
Will it be adapted again? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Whoa, Ashley getting me those Patreon dollars right there with the expletives.
I love it when people say that they like it when I swear. It's so funny.
Do it again.
Me. Fuck.
There you go. You just woke up Brago.
I'm sorry.
Intern Brago. Doesn't like, he's
here for Bubastis.
He put a nickel into the
should
the
we dress him up as Bubastis for Halloween?
Sure.
I can be
I'm down for that.
Adrian, and you can be the comedian.
You know, by the way, that's the one thing I liked from Doomsday Clock was that the new Bruce Bastis was sort of half Dr. Manhattan.
I tweeted a picture of it after you told me because I didn't read Doomsday Clock. Sorry.
By the way, you're not missing anything. You're not missing anything.
I was like, Bubastis 2 was the only good thing about Doomsday Clock, and so many people got mad
what
at me.
What would be the weird, because I want to combine Bubastis' name with Manhattan. Would it be Boo-Hatton?
Man Bastis.
Ooh, I like Man Bastis. That's cool.
My hope is that when we do get the inevitable Watchmen movie remake,
which it will happen,
my hope is that it is 20 years from now, 15 years from now. I would like some geography on it because I think the reason that the television show excelled is because it was 10 years after the movie. That's a whole generation. That's a significant chunk of time.
True. Fair point.
We've had less time between Batman movies.
Fair point.
So that would be my hope. The way that you get me to give a shit about a Watchmen movie
She's going
remake,
again, guys. She's bringing out the curse words.
Is if you give it a female director.
Mm.
So if the easy choice, obviously, Patty Jenkins directs Watchmen.
Yeah.
I'll be there because that's the thing that I always push against is the treatment of the female characters.
Yeah.
And ultimately, in the movie, what I consider to be poor casting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Laurie is a terrible character in the book.
She is.
And to be honest with you, that is why she's such an important character in the HBO show. Damon Lindelof has said that in so many interviews that he's like, the reason why Laurie is a major player is because he's like, I felt she was short-shifted in the book.
And you said that you quite liked what they did in the movie.
Jean Smart is such a good casting.
So to me, like, Patty Jenkins can take actresses who I have seen in other things and have not thought they were good and get great performances out of them. So I would like to see her take on a very masculine, very anti-woman universe. And I don't need Laurie to come out and be like this god-esque hero or anything like that. I just think for me, that's what would be interesting about it, which I also think is something that people responded to in the television show, is there were a lot of people of color working on that show, and there were a lot of women working on that show who brought out a point of view, even though it's not a direct adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Like the Dr. Manhattan dildo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
called Excalibur.
That's really funny. It's gonna split the stone.
Wow!
This is really getting what you.
This is a saucy episode. You guys listen next, everybody.
Burn down, so burn down.
I feel like we need to. I feel like we need porno music. Burn down, burn down. We need like a slow bass line. Burn down.
I'm sorry. This is the Watchmen episode. You can only play Alleluia during the sex scene.
Oh no! He's Bob Dylan. You know,
that's
like,
not Bobby Dylan. It's Leonard.
Put out your dildo and hold my hand.
And ironically, you're still a better singer than Bob Dylan.
Yep. I know. I'm sorry.
Even doing. But that, like, that's what I think a Watchmen movie needs to be, or that's how you would get me interested in a Watchmen movie. If they were going to do it now, I would really love to see Sally Jupiter played by Linda Carter.
Oh, interesting.
The first Sally Jupiter. Because I don't really care about the flashback. I want her to be interesting in the quote-unquote present-day storyline. She used to be an older woman. And, like, Linda Carter was an iconic superhero who was burned by being an iconic superhero.
True. Fair point.
So that's what I would like to see. I also think you have a cool opportunity. Like, you might be able to recast some of the actors in different parts or in cameos.
You mean the movie actors?
Yeah, from like from the 09 movie. Like, I think it would be cool if Matthew Good played like Moloch or something like that.
I don't
as
know.
An older actor.
I'd stay away from that, I think.
It's going to happen, though. If it's produced by WB, you're going to get something.
Well,
like
they own
that.
The rights.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think the thing that should happen to Watchmen, because it will get adapted again.
Yeah, the IP is too good right now.
I think the thing that should happen is the thing that I've always said that should happen before they even made the movie was that it should be an HBO miniseries.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Animated?
No.
Okay.
No, it'd be live action. I mean,
I just know the Spawn series is quite lauded.
It's great. I've always said that I literally think you should take an episode and you have an episode for every issue. So there's 12.
Sure.
There's 12 issues. Sure. There's 12 episodes. And then you figure out the back matter is one of the B plots.
Oh, that's cute.
You know, so like your B storyline, your C storyline is the back. You actually shoot the back matter.
Although to me, if you're looking for like a sort of a transmedia IP, then why not make that as like a miniseries, like a web series or something that's exclusive
well,
to
I'll
a different platform?
Well, I'll tell you this. Damon Lindelof, I don't know if you knew this, made Watchmen HBO a transmedia experience.
I mean, I don't know anything about Watchmen HBO, so I didn't.
The Watchmen HBO series, they do this cool thing. They did a website. Or you could go to hbo.com/pdpedia. Now, the reason why
I did know this, you told me about this.
The reason why it's called PDpedia is because there is an FBI, I don't know why I said it like that, FBI, is an FBI agent, I became Kiwi. there is an FBI agent on the show named Peter something or Pete something like that. And he is a superhero vigilante expert. So after each episode, they published like 2 to 3 documents that were like reports from his desk.
That's clever, though, because right, Watchmen is known for the Hollis Mason book.
Yes.
And
to be honest with you, it filled in like one of them, like the first episode, it was an interview with Ozymandias.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was like just a selection of what happened to the superheroes.
Uh-huh.
And then like episode 4 did this really great thing where it told you about the last mission of Lori and Dan.
Do you see Dan in the miniseries?
Do you want spoilers?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, full spoilers for the HBO show, everybody, right now. 2, 3, 1, no.
Interesting.
But you do find out what happens to him.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers over.
that's fine.
But it's funny. So like in that extra material, you learn that Lori renames herself post Watchmen, the comedian.
Oh, yeah.
And she
and
uses guns.
Blake and stuff like that.
But
which I hate.
Her and Dan, Night Owl, they prevent the Oklahoma City bombing.
Huh.
They stop Timothy McVeigh.
Interesting.
And that's their last mission. Because they're captured and
they've
there's
got
a new
them deep Oklahoma roots.
Yeah, right. What I saw that was very interesting. So it's funny. I speaking into my theory about like just doing it as an HBO miniseries or even a Netflix season.
Sure.
I think that it would be. I heard a lot of people suggest this. You know, when they were talking about like, oh, should the Watchmen HBO series have a second season?
Uh-huh.
Which I'm kind of like,
they're not doing it anymore.
They're not.
Right.
Although I heard HBO just reclassified it again as a series instead of a miniseries again. So I don't know. Anyways, I don't think you're going to get Damon Lindelof to do it unless he comes up with an idea.
True.
And if he comes up with an idea, then I'm more than happy to see a second season.
Sure.
But only if he wants to do it. If anybody else wants to do it, get out of here.
Well, the next time we see him at the movie theater, we'll ask him.
Oh, we will. Anyways. A lot of people brought up the idea, why not just film an adaptation of the book and tell all the viewers that it's a prequel?
That's
I kind of thought that was kind of brilliant.
It's kind of genius, yeah. But it's also kind of stupid.
Because here's the thing. In the Watchmen HBO series, they cast all the Minutemen. There's an episode of the Watchmen HBO series.
Is that the Hooded Justice episode?
Yes, that is set in the 1940s.
Interesting.
So all those actors are already cast.
Honestly, I know Before Watchmen sucks so hard.
It's so bad.
But
it's so bad.
If we were not going to do a straight up adaptation, but something else in the Watchmen universe,
sure.
The Minutemen would be the thing I'd be interested in.
That's what a lot of other people suggested too. Like, show us the Minutemen.
It's like in Harry Potter. Like, I don't give a shit about Harry Potter's children. Show me the Marauders.
Oh, his dad?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I still say go forward. Keep moving forward.
Well, I just say that J.K. Rowling shouldn't write anything ever again, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Watchmen is such an interesting idea, too, because it's so singular, and that's the thing I liked.
It is
very
singular.
That's the thing I liked about Damon Lindelof being, like, only one season.
I mean, I'll say this, too, and I've said this online a couple of times, and people think it's quite controversial, but I think the greatest gift Watchmen has given us is... teaching people about Black Wall Street, and that's not even part of the original.
Yeah, fair point.
Watchmen.
Fair point. It's not a race has very little to do with the first Watchmen.
Yeah,
but that is another reason why, and I've talked about this before. Where, and I know this has sort of turned into like this is why the HBO Watchmen series is great. I love it, guys. You should watch it if you've never seen it. When Damon Lindelof first took the job, he said that he was like,
yes.
I only want to take the job if I can figure out, because he said the reason why Watchmen resonated is because Alan Moore in 1985 picked what is the most important issue in the world. And the most important issue in the world at the time was the Cold War.
Yep.
Was that the doomsday clock was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought nuclear war, the nihilism, was going to happen. And so Damon Lindelof was like, what is that issue for today?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he picked it perfectly. It's race.
I also want to say that... we talk a lot about representation here, and we talk a lot about trying to be fair to everyone's point of view. And I think Damon Lindelof, as a powerful, straight, white guy in Hollywood, did the thing that you should do when you are a person of power in that situation. And he hired a staff and a crew and a cast that reflected the story that he wanted to tell. And he got out of their way when they came up with these great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
he has more women directors than he has men directors, too.
Yes. And I know that his room is like a pretty equal balance between people of color and women as well.
He actually said this is the first room he's ever had where he had more women than men.
Yeah. And I just think that deserves to be commended. Mm-hmm. And I think it is so ironic.
He's a good dude.
That comes out of a Watchmen series, because I don't think of, I mean, I understand that Watchmen is great and it is truly inescapable at this point, but I don't think of Watchmen before the show as being this progressive bastion. And
no.
It's sort of interesting to me that that's sort of been the next evolution of it. I think that's interesting.
It's interesting because...
it speaks to what you said about Damon Lindelof picking that issue.
Yes. And it goes back to me saying like why that's the reason why I think Damon Lindelof nails the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Moore is a writer. If you look at all his works, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, V for Vendetta, all this stuff like that. Top 10, great book. So good. Promethea, great book. Alan Moore is a great writer. You cannot deny that. But Alan Moore is also the type of writer to look down on humanity. Alan Moore is a nihilistic writer. That's why I keep bringing that up. He is such a like... fuck humanity.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
That's why he lives in the woods and is a wizard.
It's also the reason why he's like, fuck Hollywood. I don't want the money. Whereas like any other normal person would be like, yeah, give me the checks. Like Dave Gibbons, who's a smart man.
Yeah.
Like you want to give me checks? Cool.
Alan Moore
doesn't
want his checks. He can send them to me.
Exactly. But Alan
Moore. Think about how many Watchmen podcasts we can do that.
Yeah, Alan Moore would rather, I mean, sit in a basement and do dark magic.
Yeah.
But again, at the same time, you cannot deny he's a great writer.
Absolutely.
Damon Lindelof is the type of writer, and you can tell this from Lost, and you can tell this from Leftovers. Damon Lindelof, you can tell that his view on humanity is we're better off together than apart. And those are two very different viewpoints. They're completely opposite of each other. So it's very interesting, yes, that Damon Lindelof has now turned Watchmen. And again, the first season, without spoilers, the first season of Watchmen... is really about Angela Abar, this woman who is so hurt, living in a racist town in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, Tulsa. No, Tulsa is not a racist town. I've lived there for 5 years. But I'm just saying in their view...
Every town is a racist town.
In their series.
Yes.
You know, it's racist. And learning how she can be a more complete person by finding her own family. That's what the show is about.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I'm going to say this line, and it's so it's such an amazing line. One of the final lines said in the Watchmen HBO series, and this is no spoiler at all, is that a character in Watchmen is talking to Angela about her dressing up, being a superhero and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically says this idea that he's like, oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to cough on the mic. He says that, you know, we only dress up because we're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but that's not how you heal. Wounds need air.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since that line, I'm like, oh my God, that is genius. You can't hide your problems. You have to put it in the open. You know, and like what a statement about superheroes, what a state about people, what a mm-hmm. state about America. Like even when you think about America as race.
Yeah.
You know, which we can't hide it.
If you don't think about America historically mm-hmm. through the lens of race, you're not looking at it honestly.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
And that is, to be honest with you, that is a completely different viewpoint than Alan Moore's viewpoint on Watchmen. When you think about Watchmen, the original book, the viewpoint of Watchmen is, the only way humanity is ever going to work it out is if we're tricked.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lie.
Which is sad.
A lie is the only way we get peace. A lie.
Yeah.
That's Alan Moore's viewpoint on the world. And compare that to Damon Lindelof, we can't hide anymore.
Aw.
Completely different.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a very, like, you're back to your original point. I know I've elaborated way
no,
too
that's
long.
That's fine.
But back to your original point, it is interesting that that is what Damon Lindelof has turned the sort of Watchmen brand into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I keep saying that, like, I think you would enjoy the show because it does everything opposite of all your problems of Watchmen.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, it also goes back to that discussion, which we have answered on a couple extras and things like that in different videos. Like, you know, it's interesting that Damon Lindelof has as much to say about Watchmen as the person who created Watchmen.
Yeah.
You know, but Alan Moore created Watchmen and that's the way it is.
Yeah. And it's always going to be his.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always going to be his. And you know what? He deserves all the accolades for it. It is a great book.
Absolutely.
So that's
there you
it.
Go.
We're not, I don't mean to trash on Alan Moore. It's funny, actually, I saw Alan Moore's daughter actually do a very, you can go find it, you can Google
yes.
it. She did an amazing essay about how people just dump on her dad all the time.
Yep.
And she's absolutely correct. He does not deserve all the hate that he does.
No, but he is a wizard.
I'm a wizard. Hello.
Maybe
my
an
name
evil
is Alan
wizard.
Moore. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm broadcasting into the podcast as we speak. Hello.
Yeah.
I've talked to the snake god this morning. He said it will rain today. I see you have a cat.
Yes, would you like to pet him?
Is his name Manbustus?
His name is Brega.
No.
He's covering his eyes.
He's Buhatan.
Buhatan?
Buhatan.
Buhatan's funny.
Buhatan is a very good name for a cat. Oh, and the snake god is speaking again.
What's he saying?
I don't know. Well, he actually was Doctor Strange. That's why I sounded like Doctor Strange for
a little bit.
Yes.
Maybe they'll talk to each other on this year's crossover.
I doubt it. Alan Moore. It's surprised I didn't show up in the episode.
Did.
I did show up in the book club.
A little bit. It's okay.
Anyways.
Well, you don't have the...
Have you pet your snake this morning?
No, I'm a woman. I don't have a snake.
You should pet your snake.
When are we going to get Zack Snyder on the podcast?
I don't know how to do Zack Snyder.
I know, he just sounds like a dude.
Yeah, he's just a bro dude. I think Zack Snyder's very talented. I just will say that as well.
I do too. And I think people dump on him unnecessarily.
I agree.
And from everyone I know who's ever met him, he also seems to be a nice man.
The internet, yes, I've always heard he is lovely.
Yeah,
I knew a person that was his assistant and they had nothing but nice things to say about them.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's end this podcast.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for the support. We hope you enjoyed this extra long episode. And hashtag Batman Begins. Yes. Don't forget that.
Bye.
Bye-bye.